Hi, I'm Harry Reeder. Now, it is Thursday, and it's time for another slice of fresh bread. Well, I certainly hope and pray that you've enjoyed our time together this week in God's Word, because we've just arrived at the end of another chapter. Yesterday, it was chapter 3 in 1 Thessalonians, and now we get to chapter 4. And chapter 4 begins to move us to the burning questions that had been sent by the Thessalonians to the Apostle Paul. One of those burning questions was, of course, Paul. You said Jesus is coming again. Paul, we got people that have died for Jesus because of this state-sponsored persecution at Thessalonia. Paul, what has happened to those who have died before Jesus gets back? Well, he begins to answer this, and we'll answer it rather fully in chapter 4, but we're going to get started in the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, who do not know God, that no one transgress you and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, the Apostle Paul has given us a wonderful insight here that we don't want to lose, and that's this. After giving thanks and praying and getting aware of what's going on and knowing that they're under persecution and telling them he wants their heart to pursue holiness. Now, he knows that they are positionally holy because of the perfections of Christ imputed to them. But he wants them to be existentially, experientially holy in the pursuit of holiness from the heart, not to be saved, but because they love their Savior. And if this is the case, he says, I want you not only to do this, I want you to live in a life that has this ethical responsibility that you ought to please God. And do you know that's an ethical duty? It's something we ought to do? That the grace of God has laid this ethical responsibility before us? It's not just a good thing if we feel like it at the moment, but it is an ethical responsibility. And do you know that the Apostle Paul says, I've given you instructions about this and how you ought to do it for Christ? And then he says this, this is God's will for you. Have you ever had somebody say to you, no, Pastor, what do you think God's will is for my life? Well, all you got to do is go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and say, I can tell you what God's will is for your life, your holiness, your sanctification, that you from the heart live your life to the glory and majesty of God the Father in the name of Christ, your Redeemer. And he says, now let me get very specific about this. I want you to deal with the matter of something that dominates rebellion and evidences rebellion against God. It's sexual immorality. You know how to control your own body. You are not the victim of your appetites. God has given you the ability to use your appetites, whether eating, drinking, sex, knowledge, whatever the appetite is, he's given you the ability to use this for the glory of God, and that your body can be controlled by the power of the Spirit of God, the grace of God, to use it for the honor of Christ and not to dishonor Christ in your body. Remember, the Lord is an avenger. If you break God's law, it's going to break you. But directed by God's law, you can now love the Lord with your body, and that includes the pursuit of sexual holiness as well as all holiness in life. God didn't call us to impurity. He called us to holiness. If you disregard this, you're disregarding God himself. When you do, you not only transgress God, you transgress your brother. Sexual sins are never individual in their effect. They always ultimately and finally affect others. We direct our lives in the power of the Spirit of God, out of the love of Christ, with the power of the grace of God, and the gospel undergirding us, and know that we have been set free not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin, so that we can pursue God's will, which is our holiness. And that's another slice of fresh bread.
For additional resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app from your app store.